4, Revelation chapter 4, and last week we started something there on why the four Gospels. Hopefully you have a little handout. Why we have four Gospels? Why do we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Why didn't they just get together, write one book, and tell all the stories the same way, and we could have got this thing over with quicker? Why do you have to tell Matthew? Why does he start the birth with King David and all goes to the kingly line? Why does Mark not give a birth at all? Why does Luke start his birth there with, it goes all the way, his genealogy goes all the way back to Adam, a man? Why does John not give a genealogy at all? No birth in John. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are they contradicting one another? Is there mistakes in the King James Bible? Do we need to go down to the bookstore and ask for maybe another copy or a updated version of maybe the originals, of which nobody has ever seen? If you'll notice on why four Gospels, you'll see a lot of the stuff we went over last week. Ezekiel 1, 4 through 10. But look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 7. We're talking about around the throne. And verse 7 says, and the first beast was like a what? And the second beast was like a what? And the third had the face of a? And the fourth beast was like a flying what? All right, you have the lion, which is a representation of king. And then you'll have the calf or the ox, like Ezekiel says, is a servant. Matthew presents Jesus Christ as king, King of kings and Lord of lords. Mark presents him as a servant, like a calf or an ox. And then you have Luke, which presents him as the Son of Man. And then you have John, which pictures him as the Son of God, which here in verse 7 you'll find as represented by the eagle. You'll see that in Matthew, the genealogy, like we just said, goes back to the Son of David, goes back to the kingly line. And then Mark don't have a birth. Why? Because nobody cares about a servant's birth. So you start at the servant's ministry, and you start at the baptism of Jesus Christ there in Mark. And then Luke, you'll get a genealogy there, the Son of Man, but it goes back to Adam, a man. And then John goes plumb all the way back before Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and there he was. You'll see that as Matthew represents him as king, Mark represents him as an ox, a servant, Luke represents him as the Son of Man, and John as the Son of God. Now, take your Bible and look at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. You say, why four Gospels? Well, everyone in here has four sides to them. Now, you heard the missionary just a few minutes ago made reference to me being a big preacher. And I don't appreciate him talking about my size. But anyway, you have a front view. The front view has a nose, eyes, and, you know, the mouth, and so on and so forth. You turn to the side, you see ears on the side. You don't have a nose or a mouth or anything on the side. You go to the back of the head, there's nothing there. So you think about this. When you look at Jesus, you look at him, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John show Jesus Christ in all four aspects. You'll see, like we said, the birth in Matthew. Well, there's a nose. Well, you go back to Mark, and there is no nose. Is that proper English? There's no nose. That doesn't mean there's not a nose. That means Mark is not presenting him in that fashion. And so with John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get to see Christ from all four viewpoints. Look at Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of who? thought it not robbery to be equal with who? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? And was made in the likeness of what? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Who do you bow down to? Who would you bow down to? Well, let me put it this way. In the earthly sense, Queen Elizabeth or whatever, and a lot of people, when they go down, they or go see her, they bow down. Why? Royalty. So here in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, you have them bowing down to a king. That's Matthew. And then the first part, verse number 7, who made himself of no reputation, took on him a form of a servant. That's Mark. And was made in the likeness of men. That's Luke. And then John is found in verse number 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see that in Philippians chapter number 2 gives all four aspects of Jesus Christ. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the tabernacle, we dealt with this last week, that veil, Hebrews chapter number, 9, that said that is his flesh, the veil of his flesh. It's held up. You'll find it in the book of Leviticus. You'll find that it's held up by four pillars. The flesh, that veil is held up by four pillars. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You say, why are we King James Bible believers? Now, you believe whatever you want to. I'll show you the facts. I'll show you where the other versions leave stuff out. I'll show you all of that stuff. Then you pray about it. You use whatever you want to. I'm sold on the King James Bible. I believe it's infallible without any errors whatsoever. I even believe Easter is supposed to be in there in Acts chapter number 12. King, prophet, priest, and king, and so on and so forth. Now, and I found it interesting. Matter of fact, Brother Billy Brooks showed me this after service last Wednesday night in Philippians chapter 2, how all four of those is found there in the book of Philippians. Now, let's do something real quick. Look at, let's do this. I think we did a little bit of this last week. Take a look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We'll run a couple of these before we finish tonight. Matthew chapter 3. Hopefully next week I'll be able to get into the crucifixion. The crucifixion is mentioned in all four Gospels. And all four accounts of the crucifixion. You know, people say, well, Matthew contradicts John, and Luke contradicts Mark, and so on and so forth. No, friend. They're giving you a side of the Lord that the other side is not giving. It doesn't mean they left it out or said, oops, I forgot to put that in there. It's a matter of what is the emphasis. Is the emphasis the king and the millennial reign? Is the emphasis a servant working with his people? Is the emphasis the Son of Man? Is the emphasis the Son of God? And so you find that, you'll find out why some of the stories, some of the miracles that are mentioned, they're not, John tells it a little different than Matthew does. The reason is because of the emphasis. There's not any contradictions there. You just got to find out what the emphasis is about. Now you look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And for this he spoke unto the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. This is the ministry of John the Baptist, preaching a kingdom message. Look at Luke, or excuse me, Mark. Look at Mark chapter 1. Let's see what John's message was here. Mark represents him as a servant. Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Matthew says John is preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the kingly emphasis. Well, Mark doesn't mention that. Mark mentions John preaching repentance. Bring forth fruit, meet for repentance, bring forth works. Who does the work? A servant, an ox, a calf. That's what Mark represents and portrays. Look at Luke. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And a lot of this, look at verse 3. 3:3, Luke came in, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That sounds pretty close. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God," and so on and so forth. Talking about the baptism, look at verse number 10. "And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, And what shall we do? He said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither curse any falsely, but be content with thy wages. And as the people were in expectation of all men, mused in their hearts of John, whether he was the Christ or not." Now, let me stop right there. John preached in Luke how to treat humanity. Does everybody see that? They said, "What shall we do?" Well, Luke didn't say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's not that Luke forgot to put it in there. He forgot to read what Matthew wrote and add that into his. It means that Luke is going from a different angle, a different viewpoint. Matthew's going from the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark is going from the servants, the servant aspect. Bring forth fruit, meet for repentance, so on and so forth. And then Luke is coming at it as how to the humanity, how to treat mankind. If you got two coats, sell one of them, give it to there. You got meat, all right, give some to somebody else. What should we do? That's what Luke's talking about here. That was John's ministry in the book of Luke. Now look at John. How does John portray the Lord? The Son of God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with who? And the Word was who?" Same was in the beginning with who? Now, John, here he comes. About 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world," so on and so forth. John's message Well, John's message in Matthew was, repent, kingdom of heaven, kingdom, kingdom, king, kingdom, kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark was, bring forth works, works, like a servant, like an ox, repentance, remission of sins. Luke, hey, you got two coats? Sell one of them, give them to man. Humanity, son of man, humanity. What's John preaching in John? Look at verse 29. The next day John sent Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of which taketh away the sin of the world. His message in John is, behold, this man right here is God. It's not Matthew said, this man's king. Mark said, this man's a servant. Luke said, this man's the son of man. John said, this man is the son of God. He'll take away the sin of the whole world. That's a blessing to me. Let me look at one more real quick. Look at Matthew chapter 5. We'll do this one more time. I know some of you, maybe your fingers are getting tired. Look at Matthew 5. You ever wondered why Jesus came? Why Jesus came? Well, it all depends on which book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that you read. You say, you mean to tell me that they can't get an agreement on why he came? No. Matthew's going to tell you why he came, the emphasis, and then Luke, so on and so forth. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Fulfill the what? Fulfill the law. For verily I say unto thee, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Then it goes in verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach them so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom. You see, why did Jesus come? Well, in Matthew, he came to set up a kingdom. He came to set up a kingdom. It's the 1,000-year millennial reign. Hadn't got here yet. The lion's not laying down with the lamb. No matter what they tell you on the television, we're not in the millennial reign right now. That's the emphasis. That's why it came. All right, look at Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what? And to give his life a ransom for many. What did he come to do? In Mark, he come to be a servant to minister unto you. What he come to do in Matthew? He come to be a king, to set up his earthly throne, his father David, in the millennial reign. What he come to do in Mark? He come to be a minister to you, a servant to you. Luke 19. Luke 19. Everybody knows this verse. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was. Aren't y'all glad for that verse? I mean, hey, thank the Lord he's coming to set up a kingdom. and I'm going to be a part of the church, the bride, which is his body. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord about that. And thank the Lord he come to minister. Thank the Lord for that. But thank the Lord that he come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the Son of Man's job. The Son of Man came from the glory world, came to here, put on flesh, became the Son of Man from man so he could die like a man, so he could die for mankind. And when he died, let me just put this out on the table, he died for everybody. Amen. Now, John chapter 5. Let's see what he come to do in John. Why'd he come? Well, it looks like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John need to get together on why he came. Well, no, not really. It all depends on who you ask. Matthew says, okay, how y'all want to look at it? Matthew says, I'm going to show him to you as a king. I'm going to tell you. He comes as king. I'm going to show you the front, nose, eyes, mouth, all like that. Now back here, Mark ain't going to show you that. He's going to show you two ears. That's what he's going to show you. And he probably won't even mention the mouth and nose, eyes. Luke, you go to the back. You're not even going to see nothing. Well, mine you won't. Except my little CD player I got back there. A little CD player. Sometimes if I gain weight, it's a little pack of hot dogs back there. Just roll. Well, some of you look like you're about half asleep. Maybe that'll help you. All right. Look at verse 42. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Verse 43, John says about the Lord, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receiveth honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You see, right here, John, why did Jesus come? Jesus came in John to show you God. He said, I came in my Father's name. Look at John 14 for a little clear. Let's clear it up. John 14. John 14. About verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Jesus says in John, now in Matthew when you look at me, you're looking at a king. In Mark, when you're looking at me, you're looking at a servant to minister. In Luke, if you're looking at me, you're looking at the Son of Man, and in John, he says, when you look at me in John, I want you to see God. Now you say, how do you know that? Well, I think John back got a hold of it. Look at 1 John. 1 John. 1 John. Now that's toward the end. 1 John. Look at 1. 1 John 1. First John 1, we'll close. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning. Hey, John 1:1, St. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And words capitalized. Now, 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our what? Which we have what? Looked upon. And our hands have handled of the word of life. Word should be capitalized. You know what John says? I want to show y'all God. When you read John, I want y'all to be able to see God. When you read Matthew, Matthew says, I want y'all to see a king sitting on his throne in Jerusalem in the thousand-year millennial reign. Mark says, hey, I want y'all to see a servant that came to this world to minister to y'all. And Luke says, I want y'all to see the Son of Man coming to seek and to save that which was lost. John says, I just want you to see God. That's why you got four Gospels. Each one of them portray the Lord as something different. Keep that. Put that in your Bible. And we'll put some more to that maybe next week. You'll see down there the ascension. Y'all see the ascension down there? The ascension. In Matthew, there is no ascension, no ascension account. Why? The king's not going to ascend. The king's going into the millennial. He's not going to ascend. You mean Matthew don't believe in the ascension? I didn't say he didn't believe in it. His emphasis when he's writing his book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, his emphasis is a king, and the king's not ascending. The king is entering into a kingdom. So he don't put in ascension. Over there in Mark, chapter 16, you don't have to go there. In Mark 16, we'll look at it later. Luke 24, man, it's good. Son of Man, there's ascension there. In John, there is no ascension. Anybody want to take a wild guess why there's no ascension in John? Why would God want to ascend? He's already up there. If he's God, he don't ascend. He's already up there. He never left. You say, well yes, he did, because he came down here and he was God down here and God's up there. You see how big God is? You say, that's impossible. No, it's not possible. Where are y'all sitting tonight? Holy Hill Baptist Church? Some of you are not sure. Some of you are not sure right now where you're sitting. But I can tell you, everybody in here is sitting in Holy Hill Baptist Church. But I can show you a verse in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2 says, if you're saved, you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So how in the world y'all sitting here and sitting up there at the same time? Hey, that's more than just a book. That's God breathed the breath of life. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. Appreciate your patience. I wanted to get all that out. And hopefully next week maybe we'll get into that crucifixion account. There's four of them, and all four of them show a little something different. The king and the servant and so forth. All right.